is up, fellow high achievers? Welcome to episode 5 of PogRx. I am your host, GamerDoc. Today we are talking about my favorite topic, possibly in the world, food. You are what you eat. You get out what you put in. Food is fuel. There's a bunch of different sayings, euphemisms. I'm not really sure what that word means about it. But what it boils down to is there are ways in which you can pick and choose the foods that you put into your body to get a more desired outcome. We all know that, right? People who lift lots of weights are really concerned about protein. People who want to be super skinny are concerned about carbs and fats and everything. And the rest of us see a cheese plate and don't have any self-control. So what about the people in between, though? What about the esports athletes? How do you manipulate the variables that you can control? Because that's what this is about, right? It's about changing the things that you can control, controlling the controllables. You can't affect your RNG. You can't have a say in what your ping is. You can't have a say in how good your opponent is, but you can control what you put into your body. And whether or not you're an esports athlete, someone who's in their late 20s, gamer, old age, or anywhere in between, what you put into your body matters. And traditional sports has cared about this for a very, very long time. Everyone's probably heard of carbohydrate loading, whether or not you're an endurance athlete or you are a fan of The Office. Carbo loading is a big thing, right? So does anyone really know what carbo loading is? I'm sure we have some idea. You eat a bunch of carbs the night before. You know, you eat that pasta dinner the night before a game, and you're supposed to play better the next day. But what does actually carbo loading mean? Well, sugar is stored in your body as carbohydrates, as glycogen. And the main area of storage for this sugar is your liver and your muscle. And sugar is important for a lot of things, particularly for this episode, because your muscles and your brain utilize sugar as a fuel source primarily. And if you increase the stores of sugar in your muscles and in your liver, then you're going to have more sugar to perform, and you're going to be able to perform longer, you're going to be able to run faster, you're going to be able to do whatever you're doing better. So how do you increase your glycogen stores? How do you increase the amount of sugar that is in your storage system? And that's what carbohydrate loading is. So the traditional way of doing this is starving your body of carbs for 3 days and exercising. You're depleting all of your glycogen stores. You're depleting all of the sugar stored in your liver and in your muscles. And then you eat a high carb diet and you don't exercise. So you're stuffing your liver and your muscles with sugar and you're not using it up. Theoretically, this will allow you to have more glycogen stores. This is debatable whether or not you need to deplete your stores the couple days before, but if you are exercising for more than 90 minutes, it's going to improve your performance. It's shown. Less than 90 minutes, less data on that, but it will allow you to perform better. Now, the question is that applicable to esports? And why we think that way, right? So a lot of stuff we talk about in the show doesn't have, no one else, this isn't written down somewhere, right? This is coming from my brain, from conversations I've had with people. Well, is carbo loading effective for esports? And the reason why that's interesting to me is because glucose, sugar, carbs are the only fuel source that your brain can use. So your brain needs 120 grams of glucose a day. This accounts for around 60% of your daily glucose intake goes directly to your brain, not your muscles, not your liver, not any other part of your body, your brain. 60% of the sugar you eat in a day goes to your brain. Why is that? Well, things like fats, other ways that energy is stored, can't cross the blood-brain barrier. So there's a barrier between your blood and your brain, which makes sense, right? You don't want all the crap you put into your blood to go directly into your brain, so there's a filter. And only certain things can get through that filter, the blood-brain barrier. We should talk about that in another episode because it's actually pretty cool. But, you know, fats can't cross the blood-brain barrier. Proteins are too big. So your body only can use glucose. And I don't know if anyone's ever seen Marshawn Lynch eating Skittles on the sidelines. It's funny because the reason and the way that originated was when he was a kid, he had an upset stomach. And his mom would give him Skittles to make his stomach feel better, which doesn't make any sense to me, but placebo is a real thing. And so when he used to play, Marshawn Lynch would be sitting on the bench eating Skittles mid-game. What he's doing is he's keeping that storage, keeping that glucose flowing to his muscles and to his brain. And he's, you know, he's beast mode. He's Marshawn Lynch. Although athletes are an interesting perspective on nutrition because, you know, Marshawn Lynch is sitting on the sidelines eating Skittles. And then you look at the diet that Tom Brady is on. And Tom Brady is, you know, one of the best athletes of our time, whether you love him or hate him. We know that's true. Look at his diet. So he has the weirdest diet I've ever seen in my entire life. Weirdest diet. And one of the things that Tom Brady doesn't do is he doesn't eat acidic foods. So Tom Brady says, I am only going to alkalize my body. And his hypothesis is that acidic foods cause inflammation in your body. And alkalizing foods, alkaline water, decreases inflammation of your body. And to be, let's be fair to Tom, he's been hitting the head a lot. Acid does cause inflammation. It does. Acid, if you had acid, it would be bad for you. And if you want to make your pH more basic, right? So when we're talking about acid, alkaline, these are opposite things on the pH scale. So a lower pH, so a pH of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is acidic. A pH of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 is basic. But our body sits right around 7. And we have these really beautiful things called our kidneys. We have our liver. And we also have stomach acid. So if you eat food, you know where it goes? Into your stomach. You know what your stomach is filled with? Acid. Stomach acid. If you're drinking alkalized water, is that neutralizing the pH of your stomach? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So let's just pretend like we're not smart for a second and pretend like if you eat food, it's going to neutralize the acid in your stomach and then that food is going to travel through your gut. Is that then going to make your blood more basic? Absolutely not. Your kidneys and other parts of your body are literally created to create this pH balance in your blood. Tom Brady is misled. He's misled. But the fact of the matter remains is that what you eat can affect you. Can it change your blood and make it less acidic? No. But it can have a huge impact on your life. I mean, the dude's 43 and he's still crushing it. So we got to take something for it. And so I don't know if this intro has given you anything else other than another reason to not like Tom Brady or another reason to love Tom Brady, whatever your pleasure. But the fact of the matter is what you eat matters and the stuff you put into your body matters. Maybe not for your pH, but for a lot of other things. And so our guest today is a chef, and she's not just any chef. She was the head chef for the Fusion. And she works in esports. She works influencers in LA, and she knows how to feed esports athletes, which is interesting because if you're an org leader, if you're a coach, if you're someone who's in, you know, the management, if you throw organic, anti-inflammatory, antioxidant foods at your players and you want them to be the healthiest players out there because you listened to a podcast with GamerDoc and she said that food matters, chances of them buying in that day are very slim. People aren't going to eat the foods that they don't like. And second of all, if you introduce new foods, it's going to upset their stomachs. And you don't want people on tournament day with upset stomachs. It's just not going to make them play well. And that's one of the issues we see when players travel, right? If you travel to a foreign country to compete in athletics or to compete in esports, the foods that you want are no longer available. So that's why it's so interesting and why I'm really excited Chef Heidi is here, because we're going to talk about feeding an esport athlete and the pros and cons, the ups and downs, the pitfalls, and what it's actually like inside an esports house, a team house. So that is our guest for today. But first, your first POG RX of the day. This is a simple and easy tip to make you game healthier, better, and longer. Here it is. Eye strain and eye fatigue is one of the most common complaints amongst college esports athletes. But let's face it, for the rest of us, that's something to worry about too. Staring at computer screens all day is not good for us. So to prevent eye pain, worsening vision, and a whole slew of other things, practice the 20-20-20 rule. For every 20 minutes you spend looking at a computer screen, look at a spot 20 feet away for 20 seconds. While 20-20-20 is a good mnemonic to remember, if you're only doing this for every hour or so, that's probably better than what you were doing before. So just maybe try it, like, I don't know, once? That's it, your PogRx for the day. So easy, most people can do it. There it is, your PogRx for today, but that is not going to be the only one for today because we have Chef Heidi coming up right now. She's the former head chef for the Philadelphia Fusion, and she's going to tell us all about making healthy choices in competitive gaming. Welcome to the show, Chef Heidi. Chef Heidi, welcome. Welcome to PogRx. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited to have you on the show because you have worked in esports. You served at the head chef for the Fusion. This might seem like a dumb question to you, but for a lot of people at home, it isn't. Why does esports need chefs?
I think, they need chefs because a lot of them, first of all, don't really know how to cook mm-hmm. for themselves. And when they do cook, it's either Uber Eats, ramen noodles, pretty minimal stuff here. I mean, the Fusion boys were trying to flip pancakes and cook eggs, and, they posted some pretty awesome party foul food. But they need chefs because ultimately they need to be fed well, nutritionally, and they need to be catered to. They're young men. They don't have a lot of time because most of their time is invested in the game, sleeping, or connection with their family, mm-hmm. They don't need to think about what they're going to put on their own menu. They don't have time for that.
Is this different than, a lot of times these esports athletes, they're young, 17, 18, 19, 20, they're plucked from their parents' house, put into the team house. Do you think that esports, their relationship with food or their ability to cook is different than someone else their age who's not involved in gaming? Or is it just everyone that age? Like, what have you seen? Because I know you work with non-esports clients as well.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Right. Overall, I think most people of that age really don't know how to cook for themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
I know I didn't really. I mean, I was, graduating high school and learning how to become a baby chef at the college, but I would burn things in the microwave. I knew some basic stuff, but I didn't know anything about nutrition or how to feed myself adequately, So I think across the board, most people that age really don't know what's going on in the kitchen. They might not even know how to turn on the stove.
I remember I was in my first year of college and I had like a 3-year older girlfriend and I wanted to make her dinner. And so I made noodles and then I microwaved Alfredo sauce, Prego Alfredo sauce in a can, and I mixed it together and I thought it was like the best thing I'd ever made. I was like, I'm cooking.
Yes. Yeah.
So that was the extent of my skills at that age. So you're showing up to these kids who don't know how to operate a stove mostly. And you walk into the team house and you say, I am your chef now. Well, what was that like in the beginning?
Well, the first time I ever cooked for them was actually my interview. So I did a little prep at home, rolled up from San Diego to Los Angeles with all my goodies. And I spent about an hour there in their kitchen. And I walked in, I was like, wow, this is a great kitchen. I could do laps around here. And I did. And I put a spread before them with about, you know, under an hour. And they all came out and they're like, ooh, you know, I remember Fraggy's face specifically. Just, ooh, you know, check this out. You know, because first of all, here's hot food, right? Normally when you order out for 30, 40 people, it comes, it's cold, it's old. It's not smelling, the kitchen's not smelling good or anything, you know. It doesn't really create this this home environment, this essence of community when you just pick stuff out of a bag. You know, so they were all pretty floored. They're all pretty excited. I made a variety of things because not only were they interviewing me, but I was interviewing them. I wanted to see what they went for, what they didn't go for. You know, how was I going to wrap my head around these clients from 9 different countries from ages 17 to 28? Like, you know, it's a pretty big spread of clients.
So can we get a taste of that, pun intended, of like, what did you cook? What were they into? What weren't they into?
Yes. So I did some bulgogi style beef, which they ate it all. I did some like a Mediterranean chicken. They ate it all. And then I had bowls of different vegetables. So like whole roasted mushrooms, all of them gone.
Oh, wow.
You know, a big thing of kale salad, still there, you know. So, and then like grains. I don't remember what grain I did. I think I did some couscous and I did some pasta and, you know, they kind of hit half of it, right? So I was like, all right, so we have some heavy protein dudes. They love meat. They don't like salad, but how can I get them to eat it? And some of them are keeping it easy on the carbs. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and overall, I think I impressed them. I know, you know, if I didn't, I wouldn't have been working there. But basically Ross and you was like, I like you. We like you. And I was like, I like you too. You know, and so then I was hired.
Yeah.
And then I kind of knew what I was getting into.
Yeah, you were like, okay, this is what's happening. I'm going to have to be creative. It's not my normal clientele. There's actually a really cool video that I was watching on YouTube about the players talking about you and what the difference it made and how it made a difference to have hot food and just the comfort aspect of it. So when you were there, did you notice change in them? Did you notice any evolution in their relationship with food or how they interacted with you? I mean, it's just such an interesting concept that hasn't really been explored that much.
Right. It is interesting to, you know, and I've gotten to see it firsthand. You know, it started to create a sense of family for these guys that were so far, far away from home. I would put stuff in the oven after lunch and it would cook all day and the house would fill up with those mom smells. You know, like grandma used to make kind of stuff, braises and slow roasted meats and soups and all that kind of stuff. And we get them excited for mealtime. And when you're excited for mealtime, nothing else matters, right? You guys were sitting around the kitchen. They're coming in an hour before mealtime because we had scheduled times. Mm-hmm. I was trying to be a little bit early because I knew dinner, they were hungrier than brunch. You know, I call it brunch because it's supposed to be lunch. They're all waking up. And, you know, so they come in an hour early and then start connecting on a level outside of the game. Maybe they were still talking about the game. Maybe they were reading the ingredients on Coke versus Coke Zero versus Diet Coke. You know, so they're starting to get interested in what were in things, you know, and what you cook and what you do. And, you know, they never really wanted to get involved in the cooking, which was fine. But they would ask me some questions from time to time. It took a long time for them to really open up with me. Mm-hmm. But I was always just the same. How's it going? Good evening. How you doing? You know, and not so much, did you like this? Because I would never ask them, did you like this? Or what did you hate about it? I mean, that's the general manager. So that was like our line of direct communication was, if they hated something, they would let him know. If they wanted any changes, they'd let him know. Then he'd let me know because they were shy to criticize, right? They didn't want to criticize me. Did they not want to hurt my feelings, or did they just, I don't know, it was a respect thing. Maybe you don't tell your mother that you hate something. Never.
No, I do not. I'm terrified of my mom.
So even at some point, Poco called me teen mom. I'm like, yo, dude, you're not that young. Basically saying, I'm not that old. I felt like a sister in a way.
Yeah, for sure.
I have brothers, you know. But they call me teen mom. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to own that. You know, I'm going to own that. And, they come up to me and ask me, I don't feel well. What could I do? Or somebody's obviously showing signs of a cold. I'll whip my chicken soup. I'm like, you can't eat this kale wrap thing I'm about to make. Like, you got to eat some soup. You need some good home cooking chicken soup.
Yeah.
You know, that feel good food. So just over time, the interpersonal communication became better and better. I think it was that it started to trust me. I became a regular fixture, almost a part of the team, you know? So, and that sense of community and family that I could create in the kitchen with aromatics and just being open, really started to grow and kind of feed to that.
Yeah. Feed to it.
Feed to it.
Hey. So obviously, the future of esports organizations, hopefully everyone is going to have a team chef, right? Like, that's how do you get your players to eat healthy? It's going to be a lot easier to bring in someone who knows what they're doing than teach your players how to cook. But if you don't have the resources or you don't have the budget for a chef, did you have any like tips or anything you learned working with the players that, made you a better esports chef? Anything for like people at home who might have either like kids who are kind of in this situation, who are real esports moms?
If you're going to try to cook or attempt to cook, just start with the basics. Don't overcomplicate it. These guys need some lean proteins. They do need some multi-grains and they need some vegetables, right? And you can just roast anything in the oven. You can roast some chicken, get yourself a good meat thermometer, learn about temperatures so you don't get sick. Roast some chickens, roast some steaks. You could even roast your hamburgers in the oven, and you can roast all your vegetables in the oven and just learn how to cook rice. It's not that hard. A little bit of rice, a little bit of sweet potato, a little bit of pasta, brown rice pasta. They thought, hey, let's try some brown rice pasta. Let's try some whole grain pasta. I put it out there like, no, let's not try that, actually. Let's go back to the one you did before. Have fun with it.
Yeah.
You can be adventurous and still keep it simple. There's a lot of great recipes. I use the Yumly app. I've used it for probably 10 years, however long it's been out. I don't know. And it will make your grocery list for you.
Ooh.
It will, so if you pick out a recipe, you could type in grilled chicken dinner. And it will tell you like all the grilled chickens ever. And then you can pick a side and you can pick a couple of sides or whatever. And you can pick out the groceries right there. It will Instacart it to you. Like, it's a pretty cool app. I never went that far. I always love shopping. I love going there and picking out the freshest things.
Yeah.
My hands on everything.
I feel like you can't be a chef without enjoying, shopping for food. Right.
Right.
Like,
Maybe not.
I don't know anything about the culinary, industry. Yeah. So that could have been a completely ignorant thing to say. But thank you for being kind.
I'm commercial shopping on websites right now for a convention center, and I miss just going to the grocery store. I used to go every morning for Fusion.
Wow.
My best friends were the grocery people in Burbank. It was the first people I met, and was on a daily. I'd love to go picking out fish in Glendale, and they gave me the studio discount.
Ooh.
I work in the studio, but I work for Comcast, NBC. So it's like the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And going to K-Town, when Rostin showed me the California market, I just rolled over and died. I'm like, this is heaven, dude. This is great. Because I was going into some pretty funky stores and I would walk in and take a whiff and just walk out.
Yep. You're like, that is not the way.
Good.
No. Fresh ingredients definitely, I feel like, play a huge role. Like, I'm just so jealous of... My wife's from California, and so every time we go out there and just the ingredients and the the food is incredible. And I think that's another really good tip is like using fresh ingredients, right? People will like your food better, right?
Right. And there's more nutrients in the fresher food. There's more nutrients. I agree. Produce in California is amazing.
Yep.
Proteins, however, taste a little bit different. So I've pretty much gone strictly organic on all my animal products. Definitely sustainable on my ocean foods. And I mean, that's just, you know, I love my planet and do what I can.
Yep.
I want to support the good guys.
Yep.
And sure. Yeah, the fresher, the better, though. The fresh caught fish, organic meats, the fresher vegetables are going to have more nutrients, more phytonutrients. Things are more packed in there. The longer things sit, the more they die. I mean, plant life is a living thing. You know, and that's what I tell my chefs at work. Treat it like it's alive.
Yeah.
You know, because it is.
It is. That makes me feel good for spending extra on the farm share that we have a membership in. So thank you for, you know, justifying me. Chef Heidi, we are almost out of time. Your Twitter link is below you. Is there anything else that you want to... Yeah, right there. There you go. Thank you. Is there anything else that you want to shout out or direct people to if they want to learn more about you?
I had done a blog. There's a few blogs on there. It's called Chef Heidi Eats Her Words. com, and there's some good stuff on there about making grain bowls. There's some fun stuff about cake, some braises. Go check it out. I'll try to jump on there and put some more stuff on there. I'm coming up with a new website pretty soon. It's chefheidimarsh.com. It's gonna have some cool b-roll. I've been doing a little bit of streaming on Twitch, you know, so it's like a little sing-along of me making the b-roll for my website, but there's some tips and tricks on there too. It's been a busy time for me. We're going to get back into that stuff again real soon. So just keep an eye out. I don't tweet as often as I should, but I do throw up some pre-tweets when I'm going to do those Twitches. Thanks for having me on the show. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. I mean, I learned a lot. I think people at home are going to learn a lot. And this is a new industry. And so your experience isn't written down anywhere, right? Like, except for your blog, you're the only one who knows what you know. And like the handful of people who do what you do. So thank you for sharing that knowledge with us and have a wonderful day. It's a morning for you. So have the wonderful rest of the morning.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, if people have questions, feel free to hit me up in my DM or right there on the front of Twitter. I'll do my best to get back with you guys.
All right, so Chef Heidi's Pug RX is to choose fresh ingredients and keep it simple, stupid. Two Michael Scott references in one episode. If you don't know who I'm referencing, shame on you. That's it for our show, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. This was episode 5. If you've missed the other episodes, you know, that's okay because they're available where podcasts are sold. Bookstores, Amazon, Borders. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Have a wonderful evening and have a happy and a healthy week. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this show. For more information, follow GamerDoc on Twitter at GamerDoc_. And please remember, nothing in this video is medical advice. Yes, I am a doctor, and yes, you may need help. But this is the internet, and this is for entertainment informational purposes only. Thank you, and have a very nice day.